Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From WNYC in New York, this is On the Media. I'm Brooke Gladstone. To say that this week was a rough one for Facebook would be a bit of an understatement.
Massive and mysterious, a global outage taking down Facebook around the world, along with Instagram and WhatsApp, which Facebook owns.
And then there was the whistleblower.
Her name is Frances Haugen. That is a fact that Facebook has been anxious to know since last month, when an anonymous former employee filed complaints with federal law enforcement.
A former product manager at the social network telling 60 Minutes when she joined the company, she wanted to focus on combating misinformation. But after a little more than a year, she says she became so disillusioned, she filed an anonymous complaint with the SEC and provided thousands of pages of internal company research accusing...
After revealing her identity Sunday, Haugen testified before Congress on Tuesday, and she didn't mince her words there either.
I joined Facebook because I think Facebook has the potential to bring out the best in us. But I'm here today because I believe Facebook's products harm children, stoke division, and weaken our democracy. The company's leadership won't make the necessary changes because they have put their astronomical profits before people.
Haugen's testimony came on the heels of last week's hearing where senators questioned Facebook safety chief Antigone Davis. These hearings have allowed for a nuanced, in-depth conversation about social media in Congress, marking just how far politicians have come in their understanding since 2006, when Alaska Senator Ted Stevens referred to the internet as...
It's a series of tubes.
In the years since, the senators haven't exactly been known for their keen technological understanding, as evidenced in the occasional viral soundbite.
Let's say I'm emailing about Black Panther... within WhatsApp, do I get a WhatsApp? Do I get a Black Panther banner ad?
Okay, first of all, you don't email in WhatsApp. That's like saying I'll DM you from my fax machine.
At this point, it's become something of a trope. Congressional tech hearings led by tech-backward politicians with no hope of ever meaningfully regulating the industry. The futility is baked in. So when Senator Blumenthal, one of the politicians leading last week's hearing, made a flub of his own, it ricocheted around right on cue. Here he is questioning Antigone Davis.
Will you commit to ending Finsta?
Senator, again, let me explain. We don't actually do Finsta. What Finsta refers to is young people setting up accounts where they may want to have more privacy. An account where they can interact just with a smaller group of friends.
Finsta is one of your products or services. We're not talking about Google or Apple. It's Facebook, correct?
It's funny, right? Blumenthal doesn't understand what a Finsta is.
But beware of senators trying to understand technology. He did the best he could, but still there was a little bit of a fail.
Just ask your kids.
Except that before his decontextualized flub, Blumenthal actually offered a pretty good description.
Finstas are fake Instagram accounts. Finstas are kids' secret second accounts. Finstas often are intended to avoid parents' oversight. Facebook depends on teens for growth. Facebook knows that teens often are the most tech savvy in the household, but Facebook also knows that nearly every teen in the United States has an Instagram account. It can only add more users as fast as there are new 13-year-olds.
For the most part, when you look at moments like what Blumenthal said, will you commit to ending Finsta? It comes on the heels of really poorly worded questions and answers about technology dating all the way back to the 90s.
McKenna Kelly is a policy reporter for The Verge, who wrote that focusing on flubs doesn't reflect today's Congress, at least not entirely, and could have the unintended consequence of working against needed regulation of social media.
Now, the Finsta thing that we saw last week went viral was because it was believable with this vast history behind it. So I don't like to shame people getting upset with a Congress that has a difficult time passing infrastructure legislation, doing things like that. But it does, at the same time, undermine this Congress's ability to actually regulate platforms like Facebook.
How?
When you look at the question that he asked in the context that it came in, he was really identifying a serious problem. When kids use these secondary private accounts, they can sometimes get caught up in really toxic communities. Issues like pro-anorexia content. You start interacting with that content, and then your Discover page becomes not pictures of your friends and family, not just recipes. It gets hyper-focused on this really harmful behavior.
You're saying that fun with flubs that the media have is a distraction with real-world consequences.
When something like the Finsta flub happens like it did last week, it becomes a Twitter moment. People are retweeting it, they're quote-tweeting it, they're dunking on this senator, and that paints the portrait that these lawmakers are totally out of their depth. And it builds this narrative that Facebook shouldn't be governed by these types of people and that they shouldn't be on the receiving end of regulation because these are the wrong people to do it. And that's the narrative that gets built, which really wasn't the true story behind what happened on Thursday.
You said that this was one of the better hearings that you've heard overall, and there were informed questions from other senators and informed conclusions. For instance, Senator Ed Markey concluded that if Facebook has taught us anything, it's that self-regulation isn't an option.
Over the last couple days, we have seen lawmakers reintroducing legislation, crafting new legislation, and even threatening to subpoena Mark Zuckerberg to provide more testimony at a later date. So there is action happening, not just behind the scenes, but in front of us when we watch these hearings.
Markey and Blumenthal reintroduced the Kids Act, which would place new limits on the types of content for apps targeted to kids under the age of 16. Josh Hawley introduced a bill that would allow parents to sue if they can prove that something on the internet caused bodily or mental injuries to children.
That's exactly what happened. In the aftermath, we have seen a slew of new legislation introduced. And of course, legislation is only one thing. You can put bills out on the docket and send them to lawmakers. But until those Democratic bills get Republican co-sponsors, and until those Republican bills get Democratic co-sponsors and start moving through the committee process and actually look like they're viable, that's when I think we'll really get to the point where it seems like something will happen.
And also in terms of this hearing, you were hearing a lot more about algorithms than you did before, how dopamine is leveraged for more clicks, which creates a more rageful online environment and so forth. Stuff that any of us who have covered this would have known for years, but it was fairly new to hear this discussion on the Hill.
That's exactly right. And when you look at the hearings before it, the one where Mark Zuckerberg came in for the first time and had to explain how the company makes its money.
Senator, we run ads.
I see.
This hearing really marked a moment. They have come an extremely long way, and I think we do need to recognize that instead of goofing on them all the time, even though that is a lot of fun.
Can we expect that these efforts at legislation will actually make a difference? Because they're not law yet.
You know, when I talked to Amy Klobuchar last week, who was at the hearing, who also, you know, is doing a really big antitrust investigation, it seems like lawmakers are focused on some kind of multifaceted approach, looking at content algorithms, but also power and competition and antitrust. And when you're trying to tag an issue as big as one of the most valuable and innovative companies in the world, it gets really, really difficult to craft these rules and think of things in the long term.
The Facebook people were on the Hill first to defend themselves against the whistleblower's documents. And then the whistleblower came.
I'd like to thank our witness, Frances Haugen.
The thing about the hearings that we've seen over the past couple of years has been we've either brought in some executive from Facebook who is there to deflect questions and describe how good Facebook is. And then we also have other hearings, right, where they bring people in from civic society and experts, people from Georgetown Law, to kind of describe, well, you know, this is how we really need to get things done. And this is how regulation should happen. And at both of those hearings, people just end up yelling at each other and they get upset. And what I thought was really interesting about the Facebook whistleblower hearing on Tuesday with Frances Haugen was that she embodied both of those types of hearings in one person. An expert from the inside who has internal knowledge about Facebook and its structure, and also someone who knows the issues front and back.
Until the incentives change, Facebook will not change.
Who has prescriptions and ideas of how to fix the company. And then when she faces hard questions from lawmakers, unlike Mark Zuckerberg or Monica Bickert or whoever else Facebook puts on TV to defend the company, she will answer the questions straightforward rather than dodging them. And I thought that was a significant step forward for any congressional investigation that's happened so far.
Did both sides of the aisle trust her?
That was my read. It seemed like everyone was very excited to have her there. We're very excited to follow up with her later. Throughout the course of the hearing, John Thune, a Republican, Jerry Moran, a Republican, a couple of Democrats were telling her and each other, well, it's time for us to get to work.
Thank you very much.
Of course. No, always happy.
McKenna Kelly is a policy reporter for The Verge. Coming up, is Facebook a digital colossus? Or an ailing Goliath scrambling for relevance? How about both? This is On the Media.
NYC Now delivers the most up-to-date local news from WNYC and Gothamist every morning, midday, and evening. With three updates a day, listeners get breaking news, top headlines, and in-depth coverage from across New York City. By sponsoring programming like NYC Now, you'll reach our community of dedicated listeners with premium messaging in an uncluttered audio experience. Visit sponsorship.wnyc.org to get in touch and find out more.